I could be at home now. Maybe watching telly with the kids. Or I was thinking about going for a pint. Instead, I've punctured my lung and it's slowly filling up with blood. I'm going into cardiac arrest now. Silly place to overtake, really. Still, you live and learn, don't you? Don't you?
Motorcyclists, think, don't ride too fast.
To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
No risk it, no biscuit.
Arizona Cardinals fans, do you see red? Are you part of the Red Sea? Then you are listening to The Show For You, a podcast for Cardinals fans, by Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider perspectives. It's time to rise up and see red. Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up, See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site. For the Arizona Cardinals, my co-host is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation Arizona Cardinals site. And this is episode 184, our free agency preview for the Arizona Cardinals. This episode is brought to you by Harrys.com, where you can get a great shave at a great price. And we'll have a message and a deal for you listeners later on in the show. But Seth, we are nearing the end of what is only speculation. In fact, that's all there is right now because there's no real news for the Cardinals, but we're just a couple of weeks away from free agency and something will finally happen somehow.
Yeah. I mean, something's got to happen at this point, right? They can't talk anymore. It's got to be actual action going on. And yeah, I mean, we're going to be here speculating, hypothesizing, giving you our opinions, educated or non, depending on what you think of us. And we're going to be here doing that. And then less than a month, just we're going to have a quarterback on this roster. Not a starter.
Maybe a starter.
Right. But there will be one on the roster, and that's going to be a step in the right direction.
Yes. This episode, what we're going to talk about, this is a free agency preview. We're not going to talk about any candidates to sign. We're going to push that back a couple of weeks. So what we're going to do for this show, we're going to talk about the free agents that the Cardinals, they themselves have. Do we say bring him back, or do we say let him go, re-sign him, and whether we think that'll actually happen? We're going to talk about each position group. So we're going to go to the offense side of the ball, defense side of the ball. We're going to go through every position. Which positions need to be addressed in free agency? Is it a starter? Is it a backup? Do they need to sit tight and do that? And so we'll do that. And this show will, in our next show, which will be in a couple of weeks, we'll take another week hiatus to kind of let this marinate a bit. And our second preview show for free agency will come the week before free agency, in which we talk about potential targets and players that we covet or think might be a good fit for Arizona as they hit free agency. So let's go ahead and get started, and let's talk about the free agents the Cardinals have on their roster. They have a total, 19 unrestricted free agents, and according to Mike Jarecki, only three, maybe four guys that they want to bring back. But we'll talk about those guys as we go through. So let's start with the quarterback position. We know Carson Palmer's retired. The Cardinals have three unrestricted free agents. You got Matt Barkley, you got Blaine Gabbert, you got Drew Stanton. I would imagine you and I are both in agreement. Matt Barkley doesn't even need to be a conversation. Adios. The only reason we were there was because of tragedy. And good luck. I mean, we wish you well, but you're probably not going to land on an actual roster next season.
I think he'll probably end up on a roster, you know, somewhere like, let's see, he was in Chicago, and that's now John Fox is not coaching anymore, so maybe not. And then he was in San Francisco, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they let him
and go. Then he was
so yeah, maybe he doesn't end up on a roster, because I mean, the only guy
he'll be in training camp somewhere, no doubt.
Oh, definitely. He'll be in training camp. But yes, the once much heralded Matt Barkley, surefire first round pick, will be on the streets again.
Blaine Gabbert, is he worth bringing back?
You know, that's one of those decisions that it comes down to what Mike McCoy wants. And if McCoy wants to go with Gabbert and the, can you call it upside still? I don't know. Let's just call it upside for the time being. If he wants to go with Gabbert and as your theoretical QB2/3, then that's fine. But would you rather have Gabbert as your theoretical QB2/3 or Drew Stanton, as we'll get to? And that's why I have a hard time seeing Gabbert coming back, because he has no history with McCoy. You know, if this was an Arians roster, if Harold Goodwin was the OC, maybe he comes back. I don't know. It doesn't make sense right now.
Well, he technically does have a little bit of connection because he still got Byron left, which is the quarterback's coach. Gabbert, you know, what to me, what it said all last year, it seemed to be he needed to be on a roster with continuity. But then Bruce Arians retired, losing any possibility for continuity. So no matter what happens with Gabbert, it's going to be year 8 in the league with an 8th offensive coordinator. In this case,
it seems like a lot.
I mean, it's not ideal. And even, you know, they all talk about everyone. AQ Shipley was on a radio show. He had a funny story about Blaine Gabbert and his approach to behind center, about the more intimate parts of the center position for AQ Shipley, but talked about just the absolute undeniable talent he has, and he just can't get it together. If he's the backup, fine. But here's the thing with Gabbert, that if you're going to re-sign Gabbert, you better sign, to me, another starter free agent player. You don't want to sign Blaine Gabbert, in my opinion, and then go into the draft as he is your likely starter, because he has not proven, like, even in the good that he did last season, it was enough to make me feel comfortable with Gabbert as the starter, as opposed to Drew Stanton, who, you know, has been in a Bruce Arians system the last, you know, 6 years. I'm comfortable with, and I would, depending on how they want to go, I would not mind Drew Stanton coming back and being the potential bridge guy or potential backup. Like, if you enter next season with Drew Stanton as your potential starter, you're okay with that because you've seen what he can do.
Right, and that's the whole thing, is you know who Stanton is, you know what you're getting. There's not the unknown that is Blaine Gabbert still, and that's my whole thing is, like you said, if he's your 2 or even your – and the reason I say 2-3 is, you know, if you draft a quarterback, he's probably technically your 2, but he's not the guy you want to see if anything goes wrong with, let's say, Josh McCown as your starter. But – If you bring in Sam Bradford, injury-prone guy, highly talented injury-prone guy, wouldn't you prefer Drew Stanton as the guy to back up Bradford than, say, you know, Kyle LaLotta or Mike White from the 3rd or 4th round of the draft? I don't know. So I'm with you on that. Like, if he's your guy, if he's your backup, and you're trying to get Bradford to be a 2 or 3 year type guy, but you need to have a veteran behind him. Whereas, you know, if you bring in Josh McCown, hopefully you're looking to grab a Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson at 15, because you'll want to play them when Josh McCown ends up, you know, getting hurt like he does every year. But you still need Drew Stanton on that roster, because he's your, you know, breaking case of emergency guy. And like you said, I think you just feel more comfortable with him in that role than you do Blaine Gabbert, where it's like, We can probably go and get Blaine Gabbert in September or October, if need be, as opposed to keeping him on the roster August to September. Now, the interesting thing will be how many of these guys are even in camp with the Cardinals, right? Because you need right. – I mean, you're not going to need as many arms because, in theory, you're not going to have a Carson Palmer-type veteran that can't throw, you know, more than once every 3 weeks or whatever it was in camp in the offseason. But you still need 4 or 5 arms. And so do you keep guys around that you're comfortable with, or is this a whole new – because it's a whole new staff, is it a whole new kind of quarterback room?
And that was the question I was going to pose. Do you think any of them – so while we think, no, don't need bring get back Matt Barkley, Blaine Gabbert, that's maybe, and Drew Stanton's a maybe I'm comfortable with. But I made the declaration that once Bruce Arians retired, I said the entire quarterback room is going to be different. I don't think any of these players is re-signed. I think this is a blank slate. And so the new coaching staff and Steve Keim are going to want to bring in guys that they want to see in there. Drew Stanton was most assuredly a Bruce Arians decision, and it worked out really well. I just don't see them seeing Stanton with the same type of value in a new offensive system as valuable as he was before. Running backs, there's only one unrestricted free agent in Kerwin Williams. Is he a guy you think the Cardinals should bring back?
This is one of those like hard ones because from the talent side, yes. But for his sake, for Kerwin Williams' sake, I'd like to see him go somewhere where he can be the lead backup. He's never going to be the guy, but he can be the number two back on the roster. And so, you know, I think with the names they have under contract and then the names coming out in this draft, Kerwin Williams just doesn't make too much sense to me, even though he's talented enough to be, you know, the guy here or a backup here. I think there's just too many other names. And then contract wise, I think he's now going to be a $750,000 or, you know, close to $1 million type guy in terms of years accrued in the NFL. And so when you're talking about TJ Logan, Elijah Penny, and the made up Madden player that's the other guy on the roster right now, they all make like less than $1 million combined. So are you really going to want to bring back Kerwin on it's not a big contract, but in a crowded backfield, do you want to bring him back? I would say pass.
And as much as I'd like to see him on the roster, I don't see it coming back. I don't see him coming back mainly because being that he's the only free agent, the only one who's not under contract for next season, you know that the new coaching staff is going to want to bring in a player or two who have some sort of connection to them. And being that there's real, basically, I mean, Elijah Penning is an exclusive rights free agent. So it would make sense for them to tender him and bring him back because he does have a little bit of upside. He can play special teams. He can do short yardage. He can catch the ball a little bit, but they're going to want to put somebody on that roster in that room who's done something with either McCoy in Denver, McCoy in San Diego, or maybe even something in Carolina as well. So I'd like to see him back because he proved that he can be the solid number two backup and even be a split guy where if you've got the running back by committee, he can be your 1B or 2A, however you want to do that. So in terms of that, I want him back, but I don't see him coming back. This roster is going to look significantly different for next season. At receivers, there's three unrestricted free agents, one being Jerron Brown, the other being John Brown, and the last being Britton Golden. Britton Golden, I think, in my opinion, He is a dime a dozen type player in the league, as good as a guy he is. I don't bring him back unless there's a connection to the coaching staff, and I don't think they bring him back. What do you say on Golden?
No, I don't see any way they bring Golden back. I mean, they have to more than maybe even the quarterback room, because that's going to be just revamped by attrition at this point. They have to revamp the wide receiver room, and so we'll get to more, but no, they can't.
Now, Jerron and John Brown both are interesting cases because John Brown has number one receiver ceiling on him, and we've seen that come out of him. Unfortunately, the last two seasons have been a bit of a disaster. I can't say as much as I liked him in 2015, I can't bring him back. I mean, I need this receiver room to look significantly different. You get Larry Fitzgerald, perfect. Chad Williams is in year two. Okay, he's got some potential. I have to say goodbye to both Jerron and John, even though they both have places in this league.
They do, and I think, you hit on it. It's got to be a different room. It's got to be a different set of bodies in there. I understand that Chad Williams and Larry Fitzgerald and J.J. Nelson will be in there, but you got to start turning over that grouping, and it's not anything on John or Jerron. It didn't work out, and it's unfortunate, but it happens in the NFL all the time, and it's just time.
Yeah, and John Brown one of two things will happen. He'll sign. He's gonna sign for cheap somewhere, and he will be huge. Or he'll kind of do the same thing in Jerron. Jerron, I think, even though he's got, people said he's got number two receiver talent, I think that only comes on a bad team. And if that's coming on a bad team, I'd produce something. But he has a role in the league as a number four, number five receiver with special teams, because that there's value for that around the league. I think he'll be on a roster somewhere, and he was good enough. But like we saw from the Cardinals receivers all last year, he was their number two wide receiver and had 31 receptions. I keep pointing these stats on the receptions. Larry Fitzgerald had 109 last year. The rest of the receivers had 89. And their number two pass catcher was a guy they cut in week 10 in Andre Ellington. Now, Jermaine Gresham tied him for that. But when your number two receiver on the team has more than 70 receptions less than your leading receiver, he's not really what you want as your number two.
No, he's not. And that's the issue that becomes this whole kind of roster conversion is there's a lot of questions more than there are answers at this point. And that's what makes everything come into an unknown.
At tight end, they have one unrestricted free agent. That's Troy Nicholas. There's no need to bring him back. He was a Bruce Arians guy, and he's not done anything special. So you might as well bring someone else in, especially with Jermaine Gresham and his injury. You're going to need to bring somebody in free agency.
Right. You cannot have Troy Nicholas as your top tight end. It can't happen at this point. It's not anything against Troy. It's just you've invested in him. You've given him every opportunity, and it hasn't worked out. It's time to kind of wash your hands of the situation and move on. And let that die with the old staff.
Offensive line, they have three unrestricted free agents and then a restricted free agent. The first unrestricted free agent is Khalif Barnes. He, old guy, came up off the streets, didn't have to play at all. Okay, whatever. He's not coming back. Alex Boone and Earl Watford, who were starters at guard, both are free agents. Do you bring either one of those two players back?
I bring Alex Boone back. I think one, It's twofold. One, a guard pairing of Mike Iupati and Alex Boone is not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. Two, a guard pairing of you know, Andrew Norwell and Alex Boone is very good. And then more than that is if you strike out on Norwell, you have Boone in hand, and all of a sudden Quentin Nelson falls to you in the draft. And I know we're going like way off the rails here, but Quentin Nelson falls to you in the draft. It's much easier to then cut Mike Iupati than it is to draft Quentin Nelson, have him change positions on the offensive line, or cut Iupati and then go searching in May for a new guard. So I think Boone is that guy that you sign that isn't a backup plan, but he's a guy that can, you know, he can start over Mike Iupati if they want to cut him and bring in somebody on the right side, or he moves back to his more natural right guard position and you bring in somebody to play left guard, or you just leave Iupati there and you're okay.
And so, yeah, I like the notion of bringing Boone in. It depends on price tag. He got a huge contract with Minnesota, but they cut ties. And last year he ended up making what was a $4.3 million because he was still due more than $3 million from the Vikings. And then the Cardinals signed him for under $1 million. So now, is he going to want to – does he want to parlay that into another multi-year signing like he got with Minnesota? That's going to be the question, because I don't want to sign him to a big deal. I'm comfortable with 2 years. Give you a bridge to where he can play and start those 2 years, but you're already thinking toward the future. Okay, let's bring someone in to eventually replace him. Now, I don't mind Earl Watford. I just don't want him going in as a starter. That's crazy. But he makes a good guy off the bench, so I don't know if he's more of a fit somewhere else. Or if there's other players that are a good, better fit because of the coaching staff. But I wouldn't mind either one of those being re-signed. You have to bring guys back. You have to have lots of offensive linemen on the roster. But if he signed because what he signed with Jacksonville wasn't $1.5 million, and then they ended up cutting him before the first game. You can sign Watford for $1.5 million, and it doesn't hurt at all. Vincent Painter, he's a restricted free agent. No reason to tender him. You can re-sign him, but you don't want to commit $2 million to him.
No, yeah.
No. on the defensive line, you've got one unrestricted free agent and one restricted free agent, Frosty Rucker, 35 years old or almost 35. I think, whether he decides to retire or not, I think it's because of the players they already have on the line and what the coaching staff is likely going to want to do. I'm comfortable with saying, Frosty, thank you for your service, and now move on past football.
Yeah, enjoy retirement, or you know, come back and be one of the coaches the mentorship thing type thing.
Yeah. So that, yeah. What about Xavier Williams? He's a restricted free agent. Do you tag him or do you tender him?
That's so hard. Because the whole thing with the defense is you have a lot invested already, but young guys at what's his cost going to be? Do you know?
Well, it'll probably run – the restricted free agent tag is always right at about like original tender, which they wouldn't get any draft compensation. They just get a chance to match. It's about $1.9 million.
Okay. That's so hard to say, because $2 million for easy math on this cap right now on where the Cardinals are. And I know they're going to make cuts, but on where the Cardinals are, it doesn't seem like the right way to go with the talent they already have along the defensive side of the ball.
And for me, it's a no-brainer. There's no need to tender him, because there's no guarantee he's going to be a starter on this team anyway, because as it was when he was healthy and as solid as he was when he played, he ended up being most of the time the inactive defensive lineman. I mean, re-sign him, but don't tender him. And that's kind of been the case. The Cardinals have not used the restricted free agent tender much. What did they give? Jerron Brown got it. Brian Hoyer had it just to keep him around. But I think those have been the only two guys that they've used that on in a little while. And so you can re-sign him. I mean, they're going to want depth. They're going to want talent on the defensive line. But no, definitely don't tender him. At linebacker, they have some possibilities. And this is where one of those guys that the Cardinals reportedly want to bring back. The unrestricted free agents they have are Josh Bynes, Carlos Dansby inside, and then Kareem Martin outside, which would be more defensive end coming back next season. Actually, two of these guys, according to Mike Jarecki, the Cardinals do want to bring back Josh Bynes, and they do want to bring back Kareem Martin, while Carlos Dansby is probably, they're probably going to let him go for the third time. What do you say about Bynes and Martin? I think they're both smart cases to bring back. At least for me, Martin is an interesting choice because then you have to look at scheme fits and what's he going to do this year.
Yeah, and the problem with Martin's been he finally got into a groove when he actually was playing, obviously. And now the defense is changing again. So what he's doing is going to change. And do we have more time for that? I don't know. I'm with you on Bynes. I think he's a nice, at worst, backup linebacker to a number of positions. And at best, he can start. And so you're probably not going to pay too much for him. I mean, if somebody offers him, you know, like a 3-year, $7.5 million deal, you know, good luck. You know,
why would anyone? Let's be honest. Why would anyone?
But that's what I'm saying. Well, because they have money to burn. Jess. look at the Browns. They have like $120 million in cap space. They're gonna have to spend it somewhere. It usually ends up going to guys like Josh Bynes on a deal. You're like, huh?
Like, true.
Somebody signed.
True. Kareem Martin's going to be interesting because obviously I don't think he's much of a fit at his size and stature to play off the ball. Yeah, he finally got used to playing the outside linebacker position, and he wasn't good playing basically as an interior guy like Calais Campbell, like they thought initially he could be. But playing as a down lineman all the time, I think that actually might bode well for him. I don't bring him back on an expensive deal. I don't think he wasn't productive enough at any point in his career to even get like the Jarvis Jones or Alex Okafor type contract. But you bring him back at 2 years, $5 million, because he can start and he can at least be an edge setter in the running game, and that's valuable.
Oh yeah, it's definitely valuable. And so that's the hard thing with these guys is, again, it's known commodities, but it's from a different staff. And how much is that worth to the new staff, if anything?
We move to quarterbacks. I've got two unrestricted free agents, one being Justin Bethel and the other Tremont Williams. I think Justin Bethel, we can both agree, is thanks for your time, Justin. Good luck somewhere else because you were just way too inconsistent as a cornerback.
Right. Yeah. He's not coming back here.
Tremont Williams, though, is another interesting one because he is the third of the unrestricted free agents the Cardinals do want to bring back. He'll be turning 35 this year. And was really he was a critical piece of that defense because he settled that second corner position. And even though in 2016, it looked like he was probably washed up, now he looks like good. And I don't know how much he's going to get on the open market. He was on, I ran a simulation on FanSpeak's Ultimate GM and just to see what that thinks. He accepted. I offered him $3 million and he took it on a 1-year deal. So, I mean, if you can get, cause he cost less than $1 million last season. If you get him at $3 million, even if he turns out to end up getting surpassed by someone younger, like a Brandon Williams who develops or a guy that they draft in the first or second round or someone they bring in free agency, I think $3 million for that veteran player who has been a starter for a long, long time and has been a good player, I think it's a no-brainer. I just hope he doesn't get a lot of money elsewhere. I don't see him doing that because 35-year-old cornerbacks don't tend to get paid.
Right. But again, it comes down to this is what makes this so difficult this year. Is like usually you have a sense of what the organization feels about a guy, and we know Kime like Tremont Williams, but what is Wilkes think about Tremont Williams? And you know, is he going to want to invest in an older guy, or is he going to want to bring in somebody younger that he feels like can do the same type of job that Tremont did for the Cardinals? And I mean, I think they should bring him back. I just don't know if that's what they're going to do because of the regime change.
Tyvon Branch is their one safety free agent. As good and as solid as he was, I think his knee injury makes it so if he comes back, and that's a big if, it's not until training camp.
Right. And I mean, the safety position is probably the best spot on the roster right now, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's either that or running back. which probably isn't good, but it's still like, I guess if you cut Tyrann Mathieu, you can look at bringing Tyvon back, but you can't.
One, he's injury prone to begin with, right. And he had his knee tore to bits. I mean, there's other options out there. There's got to be other options out there instead of, I mean, sure, you got Antoine Bethea, you got Buda Baker. Even if you move on from Tyrann Mathieu, my guess is that between Rudy Ford and Harlan Miller and somebody else they bring, they could find someone to fit and do okay. Because Steve Wilkes is, you know, he's developed a lot of unheralded defensive backs and turned them into very solid players. Tyvon's probably – there's probably not a reason to bring him back.
Yeah, more than that, and I hate saying stuff like this. Tyvon should probably retire.
Oh, yeah. I won't say that, but he's not far from it. And I think his next injury might be the ruin, as long as it's not like a – hamstring pull or
but that's the thing is he's had so many leg problems. I just don't know if he needs. I mean, he got a good, and he didn't make as much money as he was capable, and his talent level would have allowed him to. But it's one of those things that you hate to watch a guy put himself through this every single season, and then the inevitable happens, and people might think that's unfair, but it's the reality of who he's been through his entire career. It's not like Jess and I are making something up. Like, I think he's literally played 2 injury-free seasons.
And then it was just 2 seasons ago. He went on injured reserve, not twice. Once, but twice, which might have been the first time ever. Aaron Brewer is the last guy. He's the long snapper last season. He came off of injured reserve. He was solid. And this one's kind of interesting because I think there's going to be a long snapper. I don't remember the name, but there's a long snapper out there. But oh, there again, Brewer has a relationship with
Jeff Rogers. Yeah.
With Jeff Rogers. So I think maybe he's probably going to come back. And as he did well for both Lee and both Dawson, and you have the potential of having all 3 of those specialists come back. So at first I was going to say, no, he probably won't come back. Never mind. He will probably be back because he got the connection with the special teams coach and it maintains that continuity. So, you know, we don't want another year where we're talking about a long snapper.
Oh my gosh. Can we not do that anymore? Yeah. You gotta bring him back.
We're talking about long snappers and punters the last 2 years. Let's stop that, please. All right, so that wraps up what we talk about on the Cardinals roster, the free agents they have. Coming up next in Rise Up Sea Red, we're gonna talk about the offensive side of the ball and what positions they need to address in free agency and the type of players they need to address in free agency. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. I've been talking to you guys for a long time about Harrys.com. and how you, I want you guys to do the same thing that I have done and what over 3 million guys have done is switch to Harry's to get a great shave at a fair price. We take away the unnecessary things that you don't need in your shave. You focus on quality blades, a great foam gel, and then a great price. And that's what you get from Harry's. I love the shave. I love the blades. I continue to use it. I made the switch from the electric and the disposables, and I'm not going back. It gives me a great close shave, and I love the fact that the blades come scheduled as I need them just to my house. I don't have to worry about looking for them in the store. I'm confident in it, and I know you'll be confident if you give it a try. And the special continues to be for the Rise Up Sea Red podcast listeners. You'll get the trial shave kit for free when you sign up at harrys.com/seared and only pay for shipping. That's $3. You get $3 for shipping. It's a $13 value. You get the razor handle, you get the blade, you get the fantastic smelling shave gel, and you get a travel blade cover. Get your free trial set. Go to harrys.com/CRED right now. Again, harrys.com/CRED, and help support the sponsors that help support this show. We're back on Rise Up CRED. Now we're going to talk about free agency and the offensive side of the ball and where they need to address things. So let's start with the most obvious one, and that's quarterback. Which direction do the Cardinals need to go? Because I think you can say, both of us can say confidently, they must bring in at least one quarterback in free agency, and it will probably be two.
Yeah, I mean, they have to, at least. And again, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but it has to be two in the sense of you're going to have to bring in two guys to get this roster filled out. I mean, you can definitely draft two guys, but do you really, I mean, do you want to go
in? With
the
holes on the roster, drafting two quarterbacks seems extreme and almost like a waste of picks because there's so many other places where you need people to actually contribute. You can only have one quarterback on the roster at a time, like on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, for me, I think it's obvious. Sure, they want to draft a quarterback. So unless they make a blockbuster trade before they sign a quarterback that puts them at the number one, two, or three pick, then they must absolutely one guy in free agency / trade that they are comfortable with starting for 2017 or 2018, not 2017, that they have to have a starting caliber quarterback and a backup on the roster, perhaps even two guys that you'd be comfortable starting. I think you can't, in free agency, you can't do anything less than that. You have to have one established starter and another you'd be comfortable with. And then after that, you go with the draft, depending on the type of starter you have.
Right. And you have to, but you have to bring in a guy that can be the answer in 2018 in free agency. We're not talking 2021. It has to be an answer for 2018. And, you know, we'll talk about names at a later date, but they have to bring in at least one guy that you say, okay, he can get the job done for 2018.
Running back position, not a priority. They need to bring somebody for at best a backup to Damon Jeffs, and that's at best, but probably just somebody as depth that's familiar with the coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, so there's rumors out there, and you kind of hit on it. There's rumors out there Jonathan Stewart is going to get released in Carolina. Could he end up here? The thing is, I get that Wilkes and those guys are comfortable with them, but it still doesn't even make sense because you have David Johnson. Now, I'm not saying don't bring in anybody, but it's going to have to be a very specific player that does a kind of a very specific thing.
But yeah, I mean, they have lots of guys under contract. You've got TJ Logan's going to come back. He's definitely likely going to be their returner. I mean, Adrian Peterson, and if they were going to keep Adrian Peterson, I wouldn't even complain about that. I personally believe that a backfield of David Johnson and Adrian Peterson would be very, very nice. Now, Peterson, the other issue is that Peterson probably is not going to be comfortable with 10 carries a game. And that's at max. But I can see how that would fit really nicely with the offense that, you know, I think they want to run. The fact that he knows Kirby Wilson, I mean, that they're running backs coach. I think it would be great. He's going to be released because it's going to save $3.5 million. But if that were the case, if they were keeping on, they wouldn't need, I don't think they'd even need to do anything. But worst case scenario, bring in a guy who can be your expected number two behind David Johnson. Maybe.
Right. And that's the thing. And, you know, we've talked about it. I'm fine with keeping Adrian Peterson, but if they cut him, I still don't see the urgency to bring in a guy from free agency. I think you can draft a guy on late day two, because remember, you got that second, third round pick coming in, or, you know, on day three.
At receiver, at minimum, you have to get a starter. Now, you don't have to get a number one. So you really can't afford to go out and pay someone $11 to $15 million a year, which is what a solid starting receiver is going to cost. You have to go out and get someone who you know will be a starter next to Larry Fitzgerald, a comfortable number two, or number two with a ceiling, an unfulfilled ceiling potential of a number one for years to come. And but I think they're going to have to spend, $6-7 million a year on a receiver of some sort, because you cannot absolutely go into next season right now as saying Fitz, Chad Williams, and JJ Nelson are your guys. You need to push JJ Nelson down the depth chart, at least one, where you say, okay, it's going to be Fitz, it's going to be this other veteran guy or relatively young veteran guy before we even get to Chad Williams and J.J. Nelson. And I would say they probably need to bring in one relatively expensive receiver and then another receiver on the cheap.
And this free agent class is top heavy and then has a lot of pieces that you can get, you know, they're probably not going to be in on guys like Jarvis Landry and Allen Robinson, especially after the alleged franchise tagging that'll happen with Allen Robinson. But there are plenty of guys that can come in and be fringe wide receiver two threes. And then again, as you said, they can look to address that early in the draft as well. But they need to address it in multiple ways, like they do with the quarterback position.
Tight end. You've got to bring in two. You've got to bring in a starter because you need a starter with Jermaine Gresham on the shelf at least to start. So you need a starter and probably two starters likely. Even if one is your younger, not super productive, but just, you know, blocks people type things. Because Ifeanyi Moma, he's a restricted free agent. Oh, I forgot to talk about it. No, they don't need to tag Ifeanyi Moma. Ricky Seals-Jones, maybe he's got potential there, but do you want him starting next year? I don't think so. Jermaine Gresham will come back hopefully and be okay, but you've got to bring in two tight ends.
Yes. But it has to come again. I don't think you can bring in two old guys. I think you got to bring in one guy that's a veteran. And I think you got to draft again, and people might say, oh, draft another tight end. But I mean,
you have to.
Really, at this point, you really do. And you can't. But the other thing is, you don't have the money to invest in, you know, a Jimmy Graham and like a Luke Wilson, or a Jimmy Graham and a Niles Paul, or, you know, a Luke Wilson and a Niles Paul. You don't have the money to invest in both of those guys. So if you can get a Luke Wilson or a Niles Paul, and then you can
maybe a Zach Ertz, who's, you know, just a better version of Troy Nicholas, who's always hurt.
Yes. But that's the thing is you might
be another risky move. Guys,
But you still have, yeah, you still have to go get somebody else because you can't. And you and I both like Ricky Seals-Jones. This is nothing against Ricky Seals-Jones. But you cannot go into the season with your tight end room being Zach Ertz and Ricky Seals-Jones and this guy that I don't know his name that's on the roster right now. Like, you can't do that. So you have to bring in it doesn't have to be Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State, or it doesn't even have to be Mike Gesicki from Penn State. But if you can bring in a Troy Fumagalli from Wisconsin on day three, you know, all of a sudden your tight end room is more well-rounded than if you just have a high-priced free agent and Ricky Seals-Jones and the hopefully returning from an Achilles injury, Jermaine Gresham.
And on the offensive line, this is an interesting thing, the way to go, because you got both starting guard positions that are wide open. You might have a right tackle job open if they cut ties with Jared Valdir. And so you might have to sign three starters. You definitely have to go out and spend decent money. You have to spend good money on at least one offensive lineman, and then that's at the minimum. But you're probably going to have to spend at least decent money on two positions on the offensive line.
The offensive line's so tough because, again, they're in a precarious position where you're probably turning over 3/5 of your offensive line again. At least you're going to turn over 2/5. I mean, can they really go into the season with a starting offensive line of Humphreys, Upati, Shipley, new right guard and Valdir? Like that would just seem like it was just too much of the same, right? And so that's, again, the question is, where do you invest? How do you invest that? And now under the new coaching staff, you've got a guy in Ray Brown, their offensive line coach, who's had success with rookies, but he's also had success kind of building veterans up again. And so I think it's one of those where you double dip, you go in and you grab somebody in free agency, and then you come back and you grab somebody in the draft.
Absolutely. And I think you're going to have to do two signings in free agency and then draft a guy that they can plug in somewhere. And I think that kind of will determine, maybe what will happen is that where they go in the draft determines on the future of Jared Valdir. I think Mike Upati's probably gone. And that'll wrap up the offensive side of the ball. So we'll come back on the final segment of Rise Up CEO, and we'll talk about free agency and the defensive side of the ball. That's coming up next on Rise Up CEO Red. We're back for the final segment of Rise Up CEO Red, and let's talk about the defense, which by all reports is still in very good shape. But where do they need to make additions? On the defensive line, do they need to bring in, do they need to spend decent money on a defensive lineman?
No, I don't think they can, honestly, right now, because they have so many other problems on the offense. I mean, it's this old philosophy. Do you build the defense to be impenetrable and then build the offense after that, a la, you know, kind of what Seattle's done for a long time? The difference is Seattle has Russell Wilson and the Cardinals don't. So that's the hard part right now is, you know, can you continue to invest on the defensive line? I mean, unless you're going to get a slam dunk, or unless you're going to get a star Lotulelei or a Sheldon Richardson, or apparently Muhammad Wilkerson's going to become available from the Jets. Unless you can get a big name guy like that, you're obviously going to bring in bodies, but I just don't see any reason to go after a middling guy and tie up $4.5 or $5 million.
And on the interior, because they already have, you need to look at this lineup and you say Corey Peters is locked into a starting lineup, into a starting position. You have Pierre Olsen-Pierre and Robert Kimdichie and Josh Morrow and Rodney Gunter, who can all compete for the second spot. Ideally, what that should be is on the interior, you have Peters, Camdichie, Pierre as your solid rotation players, and then anything after that. And then on the edge, you're going to have Chandler Jones. You're going to have Josh Morrow. And then it's a matter of how quickly Marcus Golden can come back. So you might actually need to bring in another edge guy. And obviously, if they bring in Kerry Martin, that kind of solves that. But they might need to bring in a defensive lineman edge guy. But yeah, they shouldn't spend much money on that. We're talking 1 to 2 to 3 million max on a guy like that.
Right. And that's the thing is, again, we're doing this a little early, but it's at a time when we kind of have to, because it's all going to come in a wave, and they're going to make cuts and then go into free agency. And so with the roster set up as now, I just don't think you can justify that kind of middling contract when you don't have any money anywhere else.
Right. And at linebacker, at least on what we're going to be seeing now is, where does Marcus Golden fit? Are you going to put him as an off the ball linebacker, a la kind of more of a Von Miller-y type thing, but he doesn't have the same speed. Now that'd be, I think Hassan Reddick will work really nicely in that role, but now you've got three linebacker positions to fill, because technically Chandler Jones is not going to be a linebacker. You've got Deion Buchanan, you've got Hassan Reddick. You have to re-sign Josh Bynes in that case, or bring in another guy that you can, because you're going to need three off the ball guys, right? I mean, there's really no way around that.
Right. And so they got to bring back Bynes, and that makes it less precarious. But, you know, they're in a really prime spot, and this sounds asinine, but they're in a really prime spot to draft a really, really high end linebacker in this draft, and Tremaine Edmonds or Raquan Smith. And so, again, you bring in Bynes, that doesn't preclude you from drafting one of those guys that could be a star. It just seems completely irresponsible to invest three first-round picks in a five-year span on inside linebacker or off-ball linebackers. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do at times.
But that could make for a really, really, really good and fast defense. I mean, you've got solid production up front. You've got a good secondary. You have three young guys running around with speed and production. That might be fun. Quarterback. Well, they have to get a starter, whether that's Tremont Williams. So you have to sign somebody who is starting caliber, someone you're comfortable with before the draft as being a starter. Yes, Brandon Williams, I think, in fact, Brandon Williams under this coaching staff, I think will be it's a perfect situation. But you can't count on him to start. You can't count on him to start at all, and you can't count on getting a starter in the draft. So you have to either re-sign Tremont Williams or bring in a guy who you know will be your number two corner with Patrick Peterson. And of course, the problem is, that's not going to be cheap. Now, Marcus Cooper, you might be able to bring back, because after he got his big contract, he was really invisible the last part of the season. And the profile that he is might actually work really well with the type of player that they want in the secondary now.
Right. And there's a, again, I hate saying stuff like this because I feel like I'm taking shots at the old regime and stuff, but this is the group that is probably going to be the one that turns on the switch, if there is a switch to find for Brandon Williams. And so, you know, as we talked about with Tremont, if you bring him back, you're able to buy time this season, not necessarily for multiple years, but this season for Brandon Williams. Or you need to do that with another relatively inexpensive free agent, as you laid out with the Tremont Williams money conversation.
At safety, I think this is the one position for me. They don't need to do anything at all. They might bring someone in, but I don't think there's any reason to spend any sort of money other than minimum contract guys to that backfield.
No, nothing at all. Nothing. I mean, I guess if you cut Tyrann Mathieu, you can start to venture into those waters, but no, not right now.
And then obviously the one thing that they need to make sure that they have to have a long snapper, whether that's Aaron Brewer or somebody else. You can't enter the season without a long snapper or two. So that doesn't work.
Right. And so they're going to have to bring either back Aaron Brewer or somebody that Jeff Rogers is comfortable with. But, you know, when you look at this situation, it's that double-edged sword where they could save a lot of money if they cut Phil Dawson. But do you really want to go through that headache again? So that's where they're at. And then the other question is, do they bring in a kickoff specialist? Sounds expensive. But do they bring in a guy that, you know, that is just in it there for kickoffs and then it allows Dawson to go back to just kicking field goals where he was more accurate, you know, when that was occurring?
And, you know, that's the downside of having the type of specialist that they've got, because both their guys are old. So normally you can have a punter who can also be your kickoff specialist, but no, you can't have that with Andy Lee because he's, you know, old as dirt. He's almost as old as I am as well. No, he's not really that old. Bill Dawson's actually older than I am. That's so he's really old. Andy Lee is old, but that was the unfortunate thing of a guy like Matt Weil not working out. If he could have been a good punter and then have a great leg on kickoffs, which it was super inconsistent, you can have Dawson come off of kickoffs. But truth was, he was good on kickoffs. That wasn't his problem. It was missing field goals early in the season because Phil Dawson was good on kickoffs. And as long as he's your best guy, So, but yeah, Cardinals have a lot. I mean, with the amount of cap space they currently have, and I imagine what we're gonna see is ultimately they're gonna have about $35 million to play with. That doesn't go super far when you have to sign a quarterback or two or a starting cornerback or two offensive linemen. That money is going to disappear very quickly. And so keep in mind, everybody, we've talked about what the Cardinals should do. We're not the ones playing around with the cap and making that work.
Right, exactly. And this is the situation that they get into where money's going to be tight. And even if you make some big-time cuts, you're going to end up being at most $45 million. And a quarterback – and Jess and I were talking about this off the air – a quarterback – even of the ilk of AJ McCarron, that's going to cost you 15 to 20 million. Ugh, I mean, Case Keenum, Nick Foles, those guys are going to cost $20+ million because that's where the market is right now. And so you're talking about either going real cheap and hoping the quarterback position works itself out, or you're talking about, you know, getting one of these kind of fringe starter guys that are going to cost $15+ million a year. And all of a sudden you're back down to $30 million with these kind of giant holes to fill on your roster. And it's going to be tough. But Steve Keim has shown in the past, he's capable of creating a roster that can compete in dire circumstances. So he's got to find a way to do it again.
He's going to make himself his money this off season with all the changes that they're doing. And, but luckily he's proven that he can do that. So he can change over a roster and still get results. Because, I mean, Cardinals fans, keep this in perspective. Keep in mind that in 5 years, the quote-unquote bad years were 7 wins and 8 wins. We've got it pretty good. It's disappointing how things ended, but remember, this is the new Cardinals. It could be so much worse. 7-8 wins in a bad year? That's the sign of a good team.
It's the sign of a well-run team and a team that's, you know, in a good spot. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is at least Steve Keim made this mess. So he's got to clean up after himself now. And we're going to see what that is and what the influence of Bruce Arians was and how that changes over now with Steve Wilks at the head coaching spot.
And that'll be a wrap for this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Guess what? We've talked free agency. This is a free agency preview. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk more for our part two of the free agency preview, where we actually put players on the Cardinals or potential players and potential targets who we think might fit money-wise and position-wise and scheme-wise. That's coming up in 2 weeks. In the meantime, enjoy this show. You can find us all over the place. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe and get those episodes delivered right to your phone or your device. You can subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You can find it on Blog Talk Radio, on Audio Boom, on RevengeOfTheBirds.com and CardsWire.com. Also, TuneIn Radio. Find us on Facebook at Rise Up Sea Red, and also on Twitter as well. On behalf of this episode 184 of this Rise Up Sea Red podcast, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Rue. We'll be back in 2 weeks talking more Arizona Cardinals football. The team says to rise up Red Sea. We also say to rise up and see red.
I could be at home now. Maybe watching telly with the kids. Or I was thinking about going for a pint. Instead, I've punctured my lung and it's slowly filling up with blood. I'm going into cardiac arrest now. Silly place to overtake, really. Still, you live and learn, don't you? Don't you?
Motorcyclists, think, don't ride too fast.
To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.